It's so intense. So fucking unbearably intense. We've been round this cycle 3 or 4 times, and each time she pushes me deeper. I can feel myself getting lost, reaching my limit. Now she's doing it again, and I can't stand it. I really can't stand it, and I twist and turn, my body pulling against the restraints. I'm deeper down the rabbit hole than I've ever been, and I'm frightened by the strength of my reactions. Tears are welling up behind my eyes. But here's the thing. All this desperation, all this emotion, this sense of tumbling over the edge is not because she's hurting me, it's because she isn't. A sadist and a masochist were in a room together. "Please beat me," said the masochist. "No," said the sadist. It's an old joke, not much of a joke, admittedly, but it doesn't come close to describing what's going on between us. She's been hurting me a lot, but for now the pain has faded away. Her hand is on my cock, rubbing, stroking. Not the punch wank she sometimes deploys, but long, slow, lube-enhanced strokes until the sensations dominate everything and I give myself up to them. It's wonderful. Her lips close over my nipple and I tense, waiting for her to bite me, but she doesn't, her tongue teasing the super-sensitive tip of it. Unbidden, the sense of wanting her to bite me drifts into my consciousness. I push it away in favour of the intense waves of pleasure, but it won't be denied. That want gradually becomes a need that grows until it drowns out all the pleasure. And the only thing in my head is needing her to bite me. And it's a desperate, aching, all-enveloping need. "Bite me, please bite me, mistress." She ignores me and continues her stroking and teasing. "Please, mistress, just do it now." Surely, I tell myself, I can't possibly use the safe word to stop her from not hurting me. Eventually, she does hurt me, biting hard, pulling and twisting with her teeth, and then her fingernails until I'm gasping and my back is arched. But I can cope with this. I welcome this. I understand this. In a bizarre turnaround, the pain has become my relief from the agony of its absence. Then she stops hurting me, and she's back with the slow stroking. Elita isn't finished with me. She isn't finished at all. Her hand continues to slide slowly, softly, sinuously up and down my cock. Despite how good it feels, the 10% of me that is still aware of where I am decides that I'm not going to orgasm today, and I should ask her to end the session. I've done so often before, but I keep quiet. Her second hand closes on my throat. I feel my breathing involuntarily stop under the pressure as she leans on it. I can see nothing, hear nothing. I can only feel sensual pleasure from my cock, the pressure of her hand on my throat. The 5% of me that is still aware of where I am wonders if she might push me all the way under, but I'm in so deep that the thought triggers no alarm. She leans on my throat again, and I feel a blackness more intense than that caused by the blindfold start to descend. This new blackness is not about an absence of light. I already have that. It's an absence of everything. As it envelops me, the individual sensation of her hands fade away, and the only thing I am conscious of is an orgasm floating up from somewhere deep in my core. The 1% of me that is still aware of where I am knows this is happening, but the rest is the blackness. The orgasm becomes a living, breathing entity. It's me, and yet also not me. It rushes up suddenly and passes through me like an ethereal Voldemort passing through Harry Potter, leaving me unharmed, but shaken to the core and feeling somehow changed by its passing. I think Elita took her hand off my throat at the exact moment of the orgasm. And as it ebbed away, I lay still next to her for a moment, feeling lightheaded in my blindfold, occasionally shaking as aftershocks passed through me. It's then eventually I felt I had to say something just to reconnect with my mistress, to let her know I was back in the room. All I could manage was, "Fuck." She laughed, clearly delighted. "Oh yes," she said. "There are sessions, and then there are sessions." And boy, she was right.